Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake hosted or co-hosting with Matt as always. Matt, what is up?
I'm tired. I had an 11-hour day with Real Salt Lake yesterday. So I'm pooped, but I'm here and I'm ready to go.
We are ready to go. I've taken two naps today. Today's Sunday, the 5th of August. Matt took a nap earlier today as well, so we're all well rested up, all ready to go. We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to jump into a few quick hitters, kind of what happened this week in sports. I did want to mention that my softball team won the Scottsdale City League Championship for the second time, so we're the two-time defending champs now. I think that's a pretty big deal.
That is a pretty big deal. That's the those are the kind of events that people come to us for.
Right. Yeah, Scottsdale City softball is a pretty important thing. So I know our listeners wanted to hear up on how our season was going. So glad we were able to cover that for them.
The very highest of the recreational softball leagues.
Yes, it's not this, you know, not some holiday rec or some Mesa rec. It's Scottsdale, you know, the bougie rec. So
yeah, big leagues.
Pretty important. All right, Matt, we're going to start. I got five things that happened this week. I'm going to go over them. Some quick hitters. Give me about a 1 minute reaction on each of these. Ready?
I'm ready.
Kind of all over the place. So, first one, EA Sports released a soundtrack for their NFL video game Madden. There was one soundtrack that included the name Colin Kaepernick, and Madden edited that out. So, I don't know if it's like bleeped out or they just cut it, but they took Kaepernick's name out of the song. Kaepernick's obviously not in the game as he's unsigned with the team. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, what I thought was funny about this is people are talking about it, and they're talking about it as like a mistake that they made in the sense that Madden, they didn't think anybody was going to notice that they edited this. And I mean, if that's true, then the people who are making Madden are incredibly stupid. There's no way they didn't think people were going to notice this. They absolutely knew that people were going to notice this, because they could have just picked a different song. There were so many songs they could have picked, but they were like, no, we're going to pick the song that has Colin Kaepernick's name, and then we're going to take it out, and someone's going to put it on social media, and it's going to be a big deal, and when people realize that we've done this, it's just going to stir up the Colin Kaepernick thing again, and it's going to show to the people that we want buying this video game that we don't want Colin Kaepernick to have anything to do with us.
Yeah, the NFL really just can't get out of their own way. Excuse me. There's the statement Madden released made it sound like, they said, quote, members of our team misunderstood that the fact while we don't have the rights to include Colin Kaepernick in the game, this doesn't affect soundtrack. So they made it sound like some dude thought, oh, because since Colin Kaepernick's not in the game, we're not allowed to have his game in the soundtrack. And, like, he didn't. Some guy just acted rogue, basically.
That would have been the case. They just would have picked a different song.
I know. There's yeah, it's so dumb. Like, the NFL, I don't think Kaepernick's an outstanding quarterback. But in this situation, the NFL just cannot get out of their own way. So, I thought that was humorous. Their defense of that. All right, next topic, Matt. Down in Tuscaloosa, we got a quarterback controversy brewing. In the national championship game, Tua Tagovailoa replaced Jalen Hurts in the national championship. Second day of fall camp, the Alabama media talked to Jalen Hurts, and he had some things to say. I'm trying to find like an exact quote that is like sums it up. Basically, his comments were, ever since the national championship game, you know, it's been brewing. No coaches have talked to me about the quarterback situation. If I'm going to start, when we're going to announce a starter, no one's talked to me about transferring or not transferring. I've kind of been left to dry. And now, again, they're playing Louisville September 1st, so about a month away. Terrible timing. Nick Saban is probably furious about what's going on. What are your thoughts on that quarterback controversy down in Tuscaloosa?
You know, I understand that Alabama for the last 10 years has been the best college football team in the country. But if you're a quarterback, why would you want to go there? I can't remember a single quarterback who has felt confident that they're going to be the starter the next week. You know what I mean? Like, they just seem, nobody on the staff, certainly not Nick Saban, seems to have any confidence in any quarterback that they've ever had. And if you look at, like, the NFL, there's no Alabama quarterbacks. And I don't know if it's because they can't develop them or they stunt their confidence, if the fact that they aren't allowed to make mistakes and they're afraid to make mistakes or they're going to get pulled, so they don't develop in the way you need to be an NFL quarterback, if that never happens. But Alabama just seems like such an unattractive place to play quarterback.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the whole SEC, they've talent-wise, they've I mean, some people disagree on this, but talent-wise, they have been better than the entire country, except at the quarterback position. This year, they actually the SEC does look to have the best quarterbacks in the country, but that's not true at Alabama. I mean, that's counting Tua Tagovailoa, but with this Jalen Hurts thing, like you said, there's always a lot of controversy. Yeah, really the best quarterback right now in the NFL from Alabama is AJ McCarron, who was Andy Dalton's backup in Cincinnati. Is supposed to be the starter in Buffalo, but you know, Josh Allen got picked in the first round there, so that'll probably only last a few weeks into the season. I honestly don't know why they can't, because of a recruiting rating. Like, they get highly ranked quarterbacks coming out of high school. They just can't develop them or haven't developed them, or I don't know what, but you're right.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I mean, if they knew anything about quarterbacks, they would have started Cooper for 4 years. So I guess that shows what they know about football.
Yeah, I mean, they know about holders. They don't know about quarterbacks, I guess, but they sure know how to recruit a holder.
Yes, sir.
So next topic. Last week, the Washington Nationals beat the New York Mets 25-6. At one point, it was 19-0. And the Mets threw in, to save their bullpen arms, their shortstop Jose Reyes started pitching for them. And he gave up, I think it was 4 runs. But that was kind of, because of that, he gave the 4 runs. It highlighted an interesting thing where baseball, in blowouts, they started using position players to pitch to save the bullpen arms. The first time I saw this year was with the Giants. Pablo Sandoval actually pitched, I think, a whole inning. It might only have been 2 batters, but he pitched a whole inning and actually did pretty well because he had pitched growing up in Venezuela. The Cubs' Anthony Rizzo, he got 2 outs as well. He was only throwing in the 60s, so I don't know how he got those 2 outs. But Jose Reyes blew it up where he allowed 4 runs, including a home run. So, Matt, I guess, what are your thoughts? Like, because it kind of sucks. You can't, in baseball, you can't really run out the clock if you're winning or losing. You still have to pitch the ball. And those pitches take a toll, so the blowout games are kind of meaningless for those players who are playing in them. Do you think the solution is to have these position players keep pitching and kind of make, not a mockery, but, you know, kind of wasting that game? Or do you think it's have more players on the roster? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the first thing is I've never felt like it's the coach's job to entertain the fans. The coach's job is to try and win a championship, and if he needs to do that by resting players in this situation in baseball or in basketball, it seems like unless there's a rule where he can't, that's what the coach probably should do. This in particular is something I don't understand because I don't understand baseball rosters well enough. Because, you know, if something comparable were happening in football or basketball, you know, you just put in a bunch of scrubs who never get playing time anyway. But the way that you're making it sound, and this article made it sound, is that there aren't pitchers on the roster that are just infrequently used that they could put in. Because to me, that seems like the logical choice is just throw in some middle reliever who almost never gets used.
Yeah, so the article Matt's referencing, there's an article on ESPN.com written by Buster Olney that talks about the actual stats of the position players being used. And with baseball, I have the hiccups, so 1 sec.
Take your time.
Excuse me. You know, those hiccups. So there's 25 players on a roster, so 25 players the coach can use. 8 of those are position starters, so like the outfield, the infield, everything like that. There's 5 pitchers on the roster at a time, like starting pitchers. Obviously, not only one of those is going to pitch in a certain day. So that's 14 players. So then he has about 11 to make up backup pitchers, is also backup infielders, pinch hitters, everything like that. You know what I mean? So he needs as many pitchers as he can, but also he needs people who can play all the infield positions, who can pinch hit against lefty or righty hitters. And everywhere, like, they don't have, it's like the 25 players, but the people who aren't on the 25, most of those guys are in AAA. So it's not exactly like they can play one game and then switch out the pitchers. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they're saving, like, if you're getting blown out, you want to save those arms. So, like, you don't want your pitcher wasting meaningless pitches if you're losing 25-4. But also, you know, the Mets just got embarrassed even more by having Jose Reyes pitch. So it's kind of an interesting debate. I'm excited to see what happens on that. But it's just this season, it's kind of been happening more and more with advanced analytics, where bullpens are becoming more and more important. So that was something interesting that I want to talk about. Next thing, back to football drama. You know, it's not actual football, so it's just kind of drama that we're talking about now. Kelvin Benjamin, Buffalo Bills wide receiver, played in Carolina. He had some comments saying, you know, he wished he wouldn't have got drafted by Carolina because Cam Newton's inaccurate. If he would have got drafted by another team, he'd be having a better career. So on and so forth. Cam Newton isn't the most accurate quarterback, but I've never seen like a player bash someone that specifically like that. What are your thoughts?
I don't know, man. I mean, to me, it feels like football players get real salty when they get traded, you know? Like, it seems like trades aren't as common as football as they maybe are in some other sports. Because, like, if you're a pitcher, you can just plug into any other team and you know, pitch. Or, like, even basketball, you can sort of, like, Jay Crowder didn't know the playbook, but he could kind of get along. And it seems like that's harder to do in football, and so there's maybe less trades. Like, I mean, I think, you know, LeSean McCoy is the one I think of from the Eagles. He was real upset about needing to go to Buffalo.
Yeah, no, they do. There are less trades in the NFL for sure. Like last season, for example, when Jimmy Garoppolo got traded, he didn't play for a month. And the only reason he did play in that game is because the quarterback got hurt. So he would have been waiting even longer to play.
Right.
With this Kelvin Benjamin thing is interesting. He's the one who caught that winning pass from Jameis Winston in the national championship for Florida State. He was drafted in the first round, same class as Brandon Cooks and Sammy Watkins. And I think Odell Beckham Jr. was in that class as well. So he's been the worst out of those four. So he feels like he should have another opportunity. Problem is, he's going from Cam Newton to A.J. McCarron. So it's probably not going to be that much better for him up in Buffalo.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Last thing, and then we're going to talk about some NFL stuff, some college football stuff. The second bit that we're going to soccer real quick. I think the second biggest signing of the summer, first obviously being Cristiano Ronaldo, Barcelona has signed Arturo Vidal, the Chilean midfielder from Bayern Munich. So Vidal was in Munich for only 2 or 3 seasons. He's going to Barcelona. He doesn't replace Neymar. He plays a different position as Neymar. But Vidal's the top, what would you say, Matt, 15 player in the world. So this is the second biggest change of teams this summer besides Cristiano Ronaldo.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, he's not replacing Neymar, but who's replacing is Andres Iniesta. You know, because that's who he plays the same position as. And so, you know, I think this is going to be really good thing for Barcelona. Arturo Vidal is really kind of that rare midfielder who can play, you know, attacking box to box or defensive midfielder. I mean, he can do so many things, really creative with the ball, great passer. He's good scorer. He's going to be able to score goals for them. I think he's going to like being in this league. You know, he spoke German and he spoke Italian, but I think he's going to enjoy speaking Spanish with some more of his teammates. And so, yeah, I just think this is a great move for him and a great move for Barcelona.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it because, I mean, yeah, obviously he speaks Spanish and, like, Well, it's crazy how, like, many different languages soccer players learn. Like, that's always impressed me. Like, there's so many different languages they have to learn on top of English. But it is nice being in a country that speaks your home language. He has a, from playing against, he has a relationship with Leo Messi and Luis Suarez. I don't think they're buddy-buddy exactly, but he already does know them, at least on some level. So it'll should be pretty easy adjustment. I'm really excited to watch it this year. So especially with Ronaldo leaving Real Madrid, they haven't replaced him with anybody yet. Like that, their Real Madrid is still stacked, but I think Ron is the clear favorite right now to repeat. They did win La Liga in Spain, and Champions League. I think is going to be really interesting because Real Madrid's the 3-time defending champs with Ronaldo not there, and Real Madrid they're still a favorite. But Champions League is going to be wide open next year, especially with this move. I'm really excited to see that.
Yeah, and Arturo is a guy who's played really well in the Champions League. He's got to the finals at least once with Juventus, but I think he's gone twice. He's lost in the finals twice, albeit to Real Madrid, who is the problem, but now it's going to be a Cristiano Ronaldo-less Real Madrid. And quickly, by the way, Arturo Vidal, for those of you who don't know, has the best nickname, I think, in sports. Because his name is Arthur, so it's just King Arthur or Rey Arturo, which I love. I think that's just the best nickname that anybody has.
I like King James. I think that's funny.
That is funny. Yeah, King James, King James, those are both good. But I just, King Arthur is a cooler king, you know?
Oh, you're right. I think King Arthur is cooler. I think, because they literally say King James, I just think that's, like, funnier. But
yeah, King Arthur, that is funny. King Arthur. Unless, of course, Donovan Mitchell's listening, as we're sure he is, Spida is definitely the coolest nickname.
Donovan Mitchell's the greatest person alive.
Yes. Yeah. Dude, he just, you know, we'll talk, I'm sure we're going to talk about this more as we get into NBA season, but, you know, he's just a good dude, and he likes living in Utah. He's so good at basketball. Like, I mean, he's going to be an all-star really soon. And so, oh man, it's just really, really exciting things happening for the Jazz right now.
Yeah, well, that's actually a good segue. So we're going to, in a little bit, talk about the college football playoff system. Last week, we talked about teams we think will make the playoff. We're going to talk about, you know, the structure of the playoffs. But first, we want to talk about Kevin Pelton, who works at ESPN, had the projections for the Eastern and Western Conference playoff matchups. I was going to start with the East, but we're talking about the Jazz, so we'll start in the Western Conference. The Warriors were projected to be the number one seed. I'll just run through the seedings really quick. The Jazz were projected to be the 2 seed, and they were projected to have 53.4 wins. And then the Rockets were the projected 3 seed. They got worse, losing Luke Mbamute and Trevor Ariza, that we've talked about that. Denver Nuggets, 4th. Minnesota Timberwolves, 5. And then 6th was Oklahoma City Thunder, which I want to talk about why they're 6. 7, New Orleans Pelicans. 8, Portland Trailblazers. Not on that list. Those are the exact same teams that made the playoffs last year. The only difference is Denver is in it. I'm trying to think of who took their spot. But you know who's not in this is the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah.
So let's start with the Jazz being projected the 2 seed. Then we'll talk about a few other things. I didn't think that I was thinking they'd be about the 4 or 5 seed again is where I'm looking at them coming in. So the 2 seed seems really high for me.
No, see, I thought, you know, they'd be right there 2 or 3 seed. I didn't know which one to put. I think the 2 seed is reasonable because the Rockets are worse. The Jazz, hypothetically, you know, being young, we think Royce O'Neal's going to get better. We think Donovan Mitchell's going to get better. Rudy Gobert is going to be as good or better. Ricky Rubio, if he's healthy, obviously this, you know, depends on health. We think the Jazz are going to be sending in a better team this year. The Rockets losing Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute. That's why they're able to play such good defense on Donovan Mitchell is because they had those two guys working on him, especially Trevor Ariza. And so now with those guys gone, if they meet in the playoffs, who's defending Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, you know, that's true. And seriously, Houston is going to be, like, people underestimate, because Houston offensively, even with Chris Paul, they were pretty similar to what they've been in the past. But the defense is what took a huge step, which allowed them to be so dominant. Mm-hmm. So losing those two guys because of those two guys. So losing them and adding Carmelo Anthony to replace that, I don't think that's going to go well. I know everybody's bagging on Carmelo Anthony, but I don't think he's going to fit well in Houston. I don't think it's going to look good. I think it's going to take a lot of adjustment. And I just don't know what Houston's going to look like this year, honestly. Like, I guess it makes sense that if I think they're going to be this much worse, that somebody would be the two seed instead of them. I'm surprised it's Utah. I'm happy it's Utah. But
well, who would you have be the two seed in if it's not the Jazz or the Rockets?
Well, yeah, that's a good point, because Oklahoma City, I also think, is going to be terrible this year. I think those four teams, the Utah Jazz, Oklahoma City Thunder, Houston Rockets, and Golden State Warriors, I think those are, barring injury, for sure playoff teams. And then the other five or six teams, like the Portland, New Orleans, San Antonio, Minnesota, Los Angeles, and Denver, and even the Clippers to an extent, I think those guys are battling for the last four spots. So I guess it makes sense as Utah, just seeing someone else that, you know, I'm biased, like, have Utah at number two is what surprised me.
Right. Yeah, no, that's just what I think. I mean, it just doesn't seem like there's anybody who's better to me. Like, I mean, for me, I think the Rockets are probably, or not the Rockets, the Thunder would probably be best after them. But they basically, you're going to have Andre Roberson healthy. That's a big deal. I like him better than a lot of people. I mean, they're honestly, if you look at their numbers, they're not significantly worse on offense when he's on the floor. And they're so much better at defense. I think that's going to help. But the question they have is, can Dennis Schroeder score the 16 points per game that Carmelo Anthony was scoring? Because as much as people were bagging on him, 16 points a game is a lot of points, and you don't just replace that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting watching Dennis Schroeder play, because he's projected to be Russell Westbrook's primary backup. So kind of he plays really similar to Westbrook. I'm interested to see if Schroeder and Westbrook ever play on the floor together, because they're both ball-dominant point guards who need the ball. But Schroeder's so good, I also don't see him being in just for the, like, 5 minutes, 10 minutes tops. Russell Westbrook's out of the game. So Billy Donovan's going to have to figure out ways to play them together. That's why it's just such a weird collection of players, with Schroeder, with Andre Roberson, who can't shoot at all. Nerlens Noel, what's he going to do? Is he just going to play when Steven Adams is off the floor, or is he going to play with Steven Adams? And that's a terrible non-shooting lineup. So, like, I just have no idea what they're going to do, like, with the minutes, is why I'm interested to see Oklahoma City this year.
Yeah. It's weird, you know, and because, like, they're – so we don't know exactly what they're going to do. I think they probably – so we don't know if Oklahoma City's better or not. Houston is worse. The Trailblazers are worse. The Pelicans are worse. I don't really – I mean, the Nuggets didn't really add anybody besides Isaiah Thomas, did they? And neither did the Timberwolves, really.
Yeah, well, the Nuggets added Michael Porter Williams – or not Michael Porter Williams, just Michael Porter.
Yeah, but he's not going to play this year,
supposedly,
right?
Had back surgery again. So I think, I don't know, I could see Denver taking a step back. San Antonio was a team that was projected to be dropped from the playoff, who made it last year. With back to Denver, though, I mean, they missed the playoffs, but they were only one game away from the four seed. So, like, they were really close last year. And Paul Millsap was there. So I think those projections are banking on a healthy Paul Millsap. Right. I don't see, like, I think Portland won't be as good, but going from 3 to 8 when not a lot of other teams got better, that was surprising to me. Because I think Damian Lillard is, especially on non-Golden State and Houston, I think he's the best player in the Western Conference. Yeah. So, I don't know. Obviously, Anthony Davis, so scratch that. But he's a top five player. Like, I think them going from 3 to 8 was surprising to me.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, they lost Nurkic, and obviously Nurkic isn't an all-star, but who's supposed to be the big guy for them? You know, like, Nurkic is still on the team. I thought he had left. Who left their team?
It was a small forward. He Ed Davis, I think was his name.
Oh yeah. So I don't know. It's weird, but yeah, well, you're right. What's interesting is that everybody is within two games. You think that, you know, would get more spread out. I think the Jazz do better because, you know, obviously the second half of the season probably isn't going to be as good, but the first half of the season certainly isn't going to be as bad, which is why I feel confident about the Jazz. What do you think about the, I think actually, you know, because the Spurs, essentially what they're doing is they're adding DeMar DeRozan to a team, playoff team that didn't have anybody, and they're not, it's not really like they're giving up Kawhi because he didn't play last year and they still made the playoffs. So I think the Spurs probably do make the playoffs, and I am not gonna sit here and say LeBron doesn't make the playoffs. That just sounds preposterous.
Yeah, I think it'd be like, I don't think the Lakers, their moves, like with JaVale McGee, Lance Stephenson, and Rondo, I don't love those, but they still have Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram. Again, not all-star players, but good players with LeBron, who it's hard to see him not making the playoffs. I just, like, I guess Minnesota I could see dropping out because they're kind of a train wreck. With apparently Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns are at least rumors those guys want to leave. San Antonio, you're right. They're so weird because they have DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. It'll be interesting watching those two play together. And everybody else, they got DeJounte Murray, Lonnie Walker, Marco Bellinelli, Patty Mills. Like, a bunch of dudes who remind me of Matt Dellavedova in a way. You know, just, like, really solid, not playing style-wise, but, like, just really good players who not going to, like, win anything for you, but they're not going to lose the game for you. So I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on DeMar DeRozan to carry that team. I think LaMarcus Aldridge had a really good last year. I don't see it being as good. I just honestly don't know what's going to happen. Like, because there are so many teams that are close, I think LA will make the playoffs, the Lakers, just because of LeBron. That's the only thing I like really disagree with, but it'll be like analytics wise, it'll be hard to see. So
right.
I guess.
Look at this. I was just looking at the divisions because I haven't thought about divisions ever until I was on Basketball Reference pulling up all these rosters. Dude, our division has the Blazers, the Thunder, us, the Wolves, and the Nuggets. And those teams are all projected to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, so best. Yeah, it's the best division because, like, all five of those teams, and then divisions don't matter a whole lot in basketball, but we play all those guys four times, and we play – instead of, it's only one game, but like we'll play teams like Phoenix only three times instead of four, or like Dallas or Sacramento. We'll play those teams three times instead of four. Where like the Golden State Warriors, they get to play the Lakers, Sacramento, and Phoenix, and the Clippers four times in a row. Well, not in a row, but four times during the year. So that it does, 4 out of 82 doesn't sound like a lot, but in a season where the third and the ninth seed were separated by three games, those four games do matter.
Yeah, definitely. That's another reason I think LeBron makes the playoffs is because he's in that division too.
Yeah. Well, let's look at the East. So in the Eastern Conference, and we'll talk less about this, but the Toronto Raptors are the projected one seed, Boston 2, Philadelphia 3, Indiana Pacers 4, Milwaukee 5, Miami 6, Wizards 7, and the Detroit Pistons at 8. I think a lot of people think, we talked a couple weeks about this when we did the Kawhi trade, it's going to be between Toronto and Boston, and Philly's in a second tier by themselves. Like, I think Toronto, Boston, tier 1, Philadelphia, tier 2, and then tier 3 doesn't matter as much, but, you know, Milwaukee, Indiana, Washington. These guys have Cleveland dropping out of the playoffs and Detroit popping into the playoffs. But other than that, the playoff picture is the exact same in the Eastern Conference. I think this is banking on a healthy Kawhi and a happy Kawhi in Toronto that has them in the number one seed.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think he's going to play and be happy. I think, it's weird. It's just kind of thinking, like, I think Boston has to be the favorite because they're getting two all-stars, where whereas Toronto is just swapping all-stars, although the all-star they're getting back is a lot better. You just have to think that Boston is adding a lot more. And another thing they're getting is they're just getting another wing who, you know, and, you know, Brad Stevens loves his wings. He's got like 17 of them on the team. So, you know, that's going to be good for him.
Yeah, I really want to see Toronto, but especially like they're getting a new coach. Boston has Brad Stevens, who's one of the best coaches in the league. I think Boston's going to be the number one seed. Kyrie and Hayward, and it'll be interesting. Like when those two come back, watching Jaylen Brown's going to be resorted to the fourth option on offense, so that's going to be interesting. Jason Tatum, especially at the end of the season, was kind of that the number one guy on offense for that team. So watching him take a step back, maybe Gordon's the guy who takes a step back, honestly, because of those two. And I'm sure it's going to be like some nights Gordon Hayward scores 25, some nights Kyrie, I feel like he's going to be the number one guy most nights. But the thing with Boston that'll be good is any guy can have a good night, and it doesn't need to be one guy carrying it every night, which I think will be the interesting part of that team. I think they'll be the number one seed. I think Boston would go to the finals. I think Toronto's the only other team that could beat them. I don't see Philadelphia competing in the playoffs with either of those two, while I do see them having a really good regular season, probably being the three seed.
Yeah, that's what I think. And I just think, like, what you said about the coaches is important. You don't fire your head coach and then wait 3 or 4 weeks or however long they waited to hire an assistant coach, if that's really what you wanted to do. Because if you want to hire the assistant coach, if you fire your coach to hire the assistant, you just do it. So that concerns me what that coaching situation is going to look like. I'm going to give a hot take real quick, though. Sure. I don't think Brad Stevens is as good of a coach as people think he is. He's obviously a good coach, but I don't think he's in that pop category where he's just leaps and bounds ahead of all the other coaches in the NBA. I think what happens is I think he's really good at running out of bounds plays and running plays out of a timeout. And I think that as fans, you know, it's easier for us to look at that and like, that's a smart play that I can see. That must mean he's a good coach. And what I think it's harder for fans to see is how someone like Quinn Snyder or Dwayne Casey builds an offense that's perfectly suited to their team. And that's really a lot more important than those, you know, out of bounds plays. And obviously, you know, Brad Stevens has built a really, really good offense for the Celtics. I just don't think he's the only one who can build an offense. And I just think he is maybe better at the things that it's easier for a fan to see than some of those other coaches. So I think we kind of overreact to how good of a coach Brad Stevens is.
Yeah, I think he's a top five coach. I'd have to like actually get a list down and think about it. I do think you would put Quinn Snyder in there, obviously Greg Popovich. This year, Dwayne Casey in Toronto, like you said. So
But like if Danny Ainge was like, hey, we'll trade you Brad Stevens for Quinn Snyder straight up, I would say no to that.
I would say no, too, as a Jazz fan. And I'm sure Boston would say no to that, too, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's so many things that fans don't see. And also that a lot – media, like, I don't count ourselves like actual media, you know? Like, actual NBA reporters, they even see more than us. But, like, not to the extent, like, every day in and out, like, how many little things the coach does do for the team. So it's hard to say, like, definite he's the best coach in the league when there's so many factors like that.
Yeah, definitely.
The only thing, Milwaukee at 5, Miami at 6. I don't think Miami's going to be that good. I don't think they're going to be that bad. I think Miami at 6 is just a product of, you know, there's no one else there. I think Washington is going to be really interesting because they've been a talented train wreck for a few years now with John Wall. But that's kind of the NBA predictions. I think we covered it. Unless you have anything more to say, we can go to the college football thing for the last 5 or 10.
Nothing in particular, just that, Miami, for those of you who don't know, we're going to pay $152 million, this year, and they're probably going to pay a lot more of that in salary cap, which is a ton of money for not being very good. I just wanted to point that out.
The Miami Heat?
Yep.
They're interesting. Like, I don't even, Dwayne Wade might not even play there. We still don't know what's going to happen with him. He's going to be in Miami or China. So we'll get back to you guys on that with the Dwayne Wade Miami Heat situation. So we're going to talk 5-10 minutes. Last week, again, we talked about the teams we thought were going to make the college football playoff. We wanted to talk, Matt and I disagree on who should get into the college football playoff. Matt thinks it should be merit, like in terms of like who deserves it. I think it should be different than that. So Matt, you can have the first argument and then I'll rebuttal you. I don't know what the verb for that is.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not, for me, it's not very complicated. I don't have a ton to say. It's just, if we're not doing it on who deserves it the most, then why are we doing it? You know what I mean? Like, the point of sports is that you can go out and beat anybody, and it's not, well, you know, football isn't judged. It's something that you just go out and either you win or you don't, and you can prove that you can win. And if we don't give people the opportunity to prove that they can win, then why are we doing it?
You know, I guess the point is to, like, see what the best teams can do, I would say. Because really, our argument, UCF kind of epitomizes our different views on this. I think UCF could have gotten an opportunity, but shouldn't have, because I didn't think they were one of the four best teams based on what they did in the regular season, despite going undefeated. And your view is because they went undefeated, they should. Is that right?
Well, what would you have liked them to do to show that they were deserving?
I would have liked them to not go to the last minute against University of Southern Florida and then go to overtime against Memphis in their conference championship game.
Well, we can do those sorts of things, you know, with every team. You know, Alabama had those, Ohio State had those, and they lost some of those situations. You know, like Clemson and Florida State seem to alternate losing to NC State every year, and they still get into the playoff.
Right, but here's the thing with Clemson. They lost to Syracuse last year. They also beat Auburn. They had like 7 wins in the top 50. Oh, UCF had like 1. You know what I mean? They did have a loss, but Clemson played so many good teams and dominated them. They dominated Louisville. They dominated Florida State. The only game they didn't dominate last year really was the NC State game, which they still won. They dominated Virginia Tech, beat the crap out of Miami in the ACC Conference Championship game. Like, literally, the Miami game, they just took them to town. Yeah. So, like, Clemson, for me, is the epitome of, like, yeah, even though you lose, I think there's a better argument for UCF with Alabama because they didn't win their conference, and they still got in. I think that's, and Ohio State, they didn't even get in the playoffs last year because of that Iowa loss.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, you know, big school, it's been to the playoff a lot. But what I'd say about strength of schedule is that Central Florida would love to play a harder schedule. They would love that. They tried to get into the Big 12. They tried to schedule a harder, really hard off or non-conference schedule every year. But what happens is if you're a Clemson or an Oklahoma or an Ohio State and you say, geez, we disagree on this, but let's say anywhere from a 50 to a 70% chance they win and a 30% chance that you lose to Central Florida and blow your hopes of going to the playoffs is too big of a chance to take. And so you just schedule some rinky-dink team, because it doesn't help those big schools to play Central Florida. So Central Florida can't play a harder schedule. Like, they would like to, and they want to, they just can't. So I just feel like if they're doing everything in their power and they go undefeated, then you have to give them a chance. I think it's fair to expect a team like that to go undefeated, but if they do everything that they actually can and you don't give them a chance, then college football is pointless.
Here's the thing, though. Like, even though they want to, they still didn't play those games.
Well, yeah, but was it their fault?
Well, no, but did they play those
Well, then why are they doing this? Like, if you were explaining this to Central Florida, and you would say, it is important and valuable that you play football this season, even though if you win all of your games, you don't have an opportunity to win a national championship. Why should they continue to put their bodies on the line and play the sport?
Well, it makes a lot, like, why should the players do it or why should the school do it?
Anybody. What, or if you're a fan, you know, like, I'm a BYU fan, we'll just say. I know BYU's not going undefeated, but even if they did go undefeated, they wouldn't get a chance at the national championship. So what's the
point? Well, with BYU football, there isn't a point. Like, we've talked about this, honestly. Like, especially with, like, this is BYU specific, but especially with them being independent, they're like, there's not a point to BYU football. It's just entertainment, and it's a few fun Saturdays, fun Saturday activities you get to do. But they're not going to win the national championship. And there's only about 20 schools that can make the national championship, honestly. Like, either probably right. more than and 20, see, but, like, Utah's not going to win the national championship anytime soon. Like, there's not – there can be – there's 130 teams. So are you saying that the 129 teams – I think it might be more than that. But every team that didn't win the national championship, did they have a waste of a season last year?
That's what Kobe Bryant would say.
What would you say?
See, no, it's not that if you try and fail, then that's okay. But if you succeed and fail, then that's weird.
So did UCF fail? I wouldn't say they failed because they didn't
obtain their objective.
Well, is that because of them? They did everything they could, so they didn't fail. They just didn't.
Exactly, and that's why it's not fair.
Well, it's not supposed to.
They did everything they could do, and they didn't get to play for the national championship. Like, why should you get to tell them that they're not the best team in the country if they win all their games and say, we'd like to play for a national championship, and then you say, no, thank you.
Because they went to overtime against Memphis, and it took them everything they could to beat University of Southern Florida.
Butler went to the finals in basketball 2 years in a row, and I'm sure they lost to some crappy teams.
See, basketball is very different than football, first of all.
It is very different than football. I know it's very different than football, but what I'm saying is that these teams who aren't ranked as high can sometimes go and do big things in a playoff setting, and that in American sports, for whatever reason, we've deemed playoff success more important than regular season success. And so you see a lot of teams in the NFL, or this happens a ton in Major League Soccer, where a team that doesn't have it figured out at the beginning of the season puts it together at the end of the season, and then they can go on and win the championship, and we think they're the best team in the sport. So if, you know... And even if there were more teams in the playoffs, even if there were like 8 or 16, like last year, wasn't it USC lost like 3 games in the beginning of the year, and then they won a ton of games until they lost to Washington. But a lot of people thought that by the end of the season, they were the best team in the country, and if they would have ended up in the playoff, then they would have been able to win. And like I said, I know they lost to Washington. I'm just saying theoretically, I would hope that they don't get into the playoff with 3 losses, but if we really do think that end of the season success is more important than regular season success, then having some more playoff spots makes room for a team like USC to go in and win that championship.
It was actually 2 years ago, USC lost to Alabama, Stanford, and Utah, and then won the rest of the games. They actually beat Washington that year. That was the year Washington got in the playoffs with the USC loss. And that was the year USC beat Penn State in the Rose Bowl. But that was...
Well, I guess that, you know, helps my point.
Well, no, but, yeah. Well, Washington only had 1 loss that year. Here's the thing, Matt. I'm not arguing that there shouldn't be more teams that get a shot. I'm arguing that with the way it is now, Alabama deserved to go to the playoff and UCF didn't. And tell me honestly, yes or no, honestly, do you think Alabama would have beaten Southern Methodist University by 7 points?
I think they probably would have won by more, but like I said, I don't...
Yes or no, do you think...
That's what I said, is I said yes. I said yes, I think they would have won by more. But the point is,
I got a couple more. Do you think Alabama would have beaten Southern Florida by 7 points? Yes or no?
I'll say no. You can insert all of your answers. That's
do you
fine.
Think UCF would have, or do you think Alabama would have gone to overtime against Memphis?
We'll say no.
Okay. Do you think UCF would have gone 10-1, or excuse me, 11-1 in the SEC?
Maybe. We didn't give them a chance.
Well, we didn't give them. They didn't play SEC teams. Like, I know.
They want to, though. They tried to.
It doesn't matter if they want to. They didn't.
So,
it just doesn't matter what they want. Like, a lot of teams want a lot of things. Like, looking at the schedule, like, I get what you're saying, like, long-term. Yeah, there should be more teams. UCF should get the opportunity to schedule better teams. But in 2017, they didn't, and they didn't make the playoffs because they beat SMU by 7 and went to overtime against Memphis, where Alabama lost to Auburn, but they dominated every other SEC game. And with the Ohio State thing, Alabama would not have gotten 55 points dropped on them against Iowa.
Yeah, so I guess we both sort of agree then, because we both think that in a perfect world, that UCF should have got a shot, right?
Right, but I think where we disagree is that I don't think it's a perfect world, and I don't think last year UCF should have gotten a shot, despite in a perfect world they should have.
Yeah, well, I guess my point was more that we should have more playoff spots right now, because I mean teams are always gonna get screwed. I'm not like particularly a UCF stan. Like, I know we were both upset how TCU didn't get in that first year that it happened.
Oh, that's totally different. TCU should have gotten in 100%. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like,
no. So, and this is gonna happen every year until we get more playoff spots.
Yeah, we definitely think there should be more playoff spots. Where we differ, I think, is that I don't feel like with the Butler thing, I don't think Butler was in basketball. I don't think they were the second best team in the country 2 years in a row. I think the college basketball tournament is a great way to determine a national championship, but not the best way to determine the best team in the country. Like, I think the year Duke won the national championship, where Kentucky went undefeated, I think Kentucky was the best team in the country that year, but Duke was a national champion.
Well, isn't that the point of sports, is who goes out on the field or the track or the court, and whoever wins is the champion? Because if that's not the point, if we're just looking for the best team, we don't even need to play the games. There's no reason to play the games if we're not after who can win.
Well, we're after who can win, and Alabama, they played 12 games and dominated 11 of them.
Yeah, I'm not saying Alabama is bad. I'm just saying UFC took their opportunities to win, and they won them all. And because they took their opportunities, they need the opportunity to they need the opportunity to show that they can win or lose in the national championship, because that's why we sports.
Well, why? Tell me why Alabama shouldn't have made the playoff last year.
Was last year what happened last year? Did they beat not Auburn but Georgia in the national championship? Right.
They lost to Auburn in the regular season, so Auburn played Georgia in the SEC championship. Georgia won that game, so Georgia and Alabama made the SEC made the playoff from the SEC.
Yeah, and so I'm not saying Alabama shouldn't go. They deserve to go. My point is, if the point of sports is about winning, we need to give all of the deserving teams an opportunity to win, and you're never going to get that with four.
But
like I don't care too much about whether Alabama or UCF or Oklahoma deserved to go more. You either deserve or you don't, and if you deserve, you should go, and if you don't, then you shouldn't. And we have more teams that deserve to go to the playoff than we have spots.
Well, last year, but there's some years where there's about two teams that deserve to go to the playoff, but they got to fill the four slots. You know what I mean? So imagine having six teams that don't deserve to go.
What year did that happen? It seems like we're having this argument every year. Hasn't it only happened like 4 years?
It's happened for 4 years. Let's see, college football.
Because there was the year TCU needed to go. This year UCF needed to go. There was the year that Penn State should have gone.
Well, you can see that's a year I think Penn State and Ohio State didn't really deserve to go, but they just had to fill a slot.
You don't think that either of those teams did enough to compete for an national championship?
Ohio State didn't win their conference. Penn State lost to Pitt and, I think, Michigan. So Penn State had two losses. Ohio State didn't even win their conference.
See, that is such an unfairly thin margin of error. I don't like that.
Well, that's an argument. But, like, the point is, like, that's the problem with football is right now the margin of error is one loss and you're done. So if you extended it to eight, I'm pro eight teams. I'm just saying the notion that teams deserve – it's not like a civil right to go to the national championship if you win all your games. Like, football is just a different sport than basketball.
Well, then what's the point?
Here's the thing. If you have eight games, then that's one more week where you got these college kids playing all these teams, all these games, and you're playing them more and more and more. And then they're not getting paid for that. They're making more money. This is a different argument, but there's like so many reasons it's not eight right now. And a lot of it is scheduling. They already played 12 games and the regular season. They'd have to either start the regular season like in mid-August, or they'd have to extend the playoffs to like the middle of January, which, you know, is a whole thing with schools and transfers and stuff like that. And then coaches start leaving. There's a lot of reasons. I think it should be eight, and that in a perfect world, it would be eight. But I think you're not acknowledging that there are a lot of reasons it's not eight right now, and it's not just like an antitrust thing where we're trying to screw UCF and schools like that.
I don't think it's a conspiracy theory, but I mean, like, the scheduling, I don't buy that as that big of a problem, because that would only it's only an extra game of what they're doing right now for two schools, and they could figure out how to make it work for two schools.
The thing is, I don't know, like, one extra game for football is a lot bigger than one extra game for basketball or baseball. There's a whole lot more that goes into that.
It is, but if we're talking about trying to find a national champion and we're trying to figure out what's fair, I think one extra game for two teams is a fair price for
fair. I mean, I kind of think, because the national champion right now ends up playing like 14 or 15 games, I kind of think that's too many. Like, I think we need to figure out a way to cut something back elsewhere.
Yeah, shorten the conference schedule. Shorten the non-conference schedule. That's it. People don't care about that stuff.
I do think that we need to make the conferences, like, for example, the SEC plays eight games, Pac-12 plays nine games. Like, we need to make that stuff, like, have all the same rules as that. There's so many different conferences that are playing by different rules but competing for the same thing, which is a problem. Part of the problem.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
All right, well, we didn't really solve anything, but on that note, we're going to close it, unless you have any closing arguments.
No, I don't think so.
All right, well, that was a longer debate than I thought we were going to have. Again, I don't think either of us convinced the other one of anything. But we appreciate you listening. We'd love to hear what you think. Our social media stuff is at Twitter and Instagram. It's at MJ Double Take. Matt's personal Twitter handle is at MattCowden24. Let him know why he's wrong. My Twitter handle is at JacobCowden28. You can agree with me. Let me know you agree that Alabama should have made the playoffs and that last year UCF did not deserve to go despite going undefeated. Also, our email is at mjdoubletake@gmail.com. Read our sports blog. There's a new article. One of our writers is writing about Donovan Mitchell and the NBA, his NBA season. So check that out upcoming. It's mjdoubletake.blogspot.com. So a lot of good stuff there. Really appreciate y'all listening. Again, we're on Spotify, Apple, and iTunes. Subscribe, leave a 5-star review, leave a comment. We really appreciate all that. Thank you so much, and talk to you next week.